Hallelujah. God of the redeemed. That means you. You are the redeemed. Okay. Yeah, I am redeemed. Yes, I am redeemed. Ooh, glory to God. I am redeemed. You're redeemed. Glory to God. You may be seated if you can't. You know, I mean, if you're too excited about. So what we'll do today, as promised, I will speak about 1 Peter 2:24. So you can go to 1 Peter 2. But this is talking about our redemption. So let's see, maybe I can. I tell you, when we're through with this and it doesn't turn you on, your wood's wet. This is something of, oh, man. And I told you, I have preached this in one service already, so I'm warmed up and I'm really, really happy. I preached myself happy in the last service. I thought that was great. Not because of me, but because of His Word. His Word is awesome. His truth is awesome. It sets us free. It makes us happy. It's what creates a room for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. So as we approach His Word, that's exactly what He wants to do. One of the things that we always say here, at least we say it in Bible school, I don't say it that often in church, is when we approach the Word of God, when we study the Bible, the way we study it, the part where we put our main focus on are the letters to the churches, the epistles. The reason being that those are written to us. They are written to the church. They are written to the redeemed. They are written from the point of view that Jesus has already died, that Jesus has already purchased our eternal salvation, and that He rose again on the third day. He went to the Father, and now He's glorified in heaven. So these epistles are written from that point of view. That doesn't mean the Gospels are not the Word of God. It doesn't mean the Old Testament is not the Word of God. It is, but they did not have that perspective. They were looking forward to the cross, but now in the epistles, we're looking back. It's about what Jesus has done and what is now, what we are now, what belongs to us now. All right? So that's one of the reasons, you know, why we preach so much from that part of the Bible, from this little bitty part of the New Testament. It's not because the rest is not the Word. It's because that's usually where we get the truth from the point of view that Jesus had already died. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So I'm excited about that. I don't know about you. Because when it comes to what Jesus has done on the cross, that's called the gospel. That means the good news. So anyone got some bad news last week? This whole nation was bombarded with bad news last week. So how about we start to bombard this nation with some good news this week? Amen. So that's what we will talk about, the good news, all right? So this is good news, so don't forget to smile. Just saying. Really, I tell you, this is God. I'm usually careful when I say things like this, but this is a thing He does to me. I don't know if there's a spiritual reason behind it or He just thinks it's funny. I can't be like this in His presence for more than 30 seconds. He would just go like, "Hey, don't forget to smile." Like, okay. You know. Well, just saying. All right, so 1 Peter 2. And we'll start in verse 22. Talks about Jesus, and it says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judges righteously, who His own self bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls." All right, so the title of my sermon today is the whole gospel in a nutshell. Because I believe there is no other verse in the New Testament that gives us the complete gospel in such a confined space, just like 1 Peter 2:24. I love that verse, and this is the first time I preach about it, so, the second time, but today is the first time that I preach about it, so I love it. And what I explained also in the first service was that when you look at the gospel, somebody compared that to somebody painting a picture. It's a nice picture. It's a great picture. We see Jesus walking around. We hear him talking to us. You know, it's all wonderful. But we don't see really what happened in the Spirit. We don't, you know, we see Jesus dying on the cross. We see Jesus, defeating death, hell, and the grave. You know, that's all great. But what really happened and what that means is not really explained in the gospel. For sure, it's not all explained in the Old Testament, but even in the Gospels, think about the disciples of Jesus. They spent 3 years with him. And after 3 years, just before Jesus, just went back to heaven, they ask him, okay, you're going to restore the kingdom now? You're going to just kill everyone now and, redeem us from that oppression? And Jesus said, no, that's not up to you, I'll do that later. First, I've got something else to do for you first. He said that 2,000 years ago. But that's what it was like. The disciples, after having spent 3 years with Jesus, they still didn't get the point. They still didn't get the point that he said, well, my kingdom is not of this world. If you still are in this world, but you are not of the world. He really painted for them this spiritual kingdom, that a spiritual change would come first before you see the physical change. Something has to happen spiritually first before you can see the physical change. They still hadn't gotten that. After 3 years with Jesus, they still completely oblivious about anything called the church, raising up the church, what it means that the gospel will be preached to all the nations. Still no clue. All right, so the Holy Spirit then started to reveal some things, especially Paul, about this gospel, about what it really means, about what Jesus did on the cross for us. So we can read here in 1 Peter 2, we can read one of these things that give us a clue about what happened in the Spirit when Jesus died for us. For example, it says here, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The Weymouth translation said, he carried our sins to the cross and bore it there. That's what Jesus did. He carried our sins to the cross and bore it there. He did that voluntarily. It was by his own will, by an act of his will, that he laid down his life. See, one of the things when I talk to Muslims, every time I've talked to them, in the taxi, most of the time, that's where you get the chance to talk to a Muslim. And we talk, what are you doing for a living? Well, I'm a pastor. Oh, really? Let me ask you a question. This last guy, really? Let me ask you a question. Can someone kill God? That's a big thing for them. How foolish. How can you believe that we can kill God? That a man can kill a God? That's not possible. Oh, yes, it is. If that God decides that that's what's going to happen. And that's exactly what happens. Jesus said, nobody kills me. Nobody has the power to take my life from me. In John 10, 18, he said, I have the power. I have the authority to lay down my life. And I have authority to take it again. He said, because this is the commandment I've received from my Father. So it's something that he did voluntarily. He wasn't just there and suddenly overwhelmed by the Roman occupation and just couldn't help himself anymore because he was weak Jesus. That wasn't the case. In fact, when they wanted to take him, he told Peter, he said, Peter, don't you think that I could just pray the Father right now and he would send thousands of angels just to get me out of here? It would happen. I could do that, but I won't. I won't. Why? because he knew what had to happen. He knew that he had to give his life. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. He did it for two reasons. He loved the Father and he loved you. First of all, it was the commandment the Father gave him. He loved the Father. He was obedient to the Father. Second, see, it's not all about you. But second, he loves you. The Bible says Jesus loves us. And if you don't know that, ask your children. Jesus loves them. Yes, they know because the Bible tells them so. You know, so Jesus loves you. That's why he did that. That's why he did that for us. But what he did, and I love the way this verse tells us what actually happened. It says here, he bore our sins in his own body. Himself bore our sins in his own body. This is the Weymouth translation says, he bore our sins. He carried it to the cross and bore it there. And let's go to Isaiah 53. Because that's what Peter is quoting, all right? In Isaiah 53, Jews today are still debating what that means. They don't know. That's why the epistles are so important, because they tell us exactly what Isaiah 53 means. Isaiah 53 paints a great picture. We learn a lot. But if we really want to know what happened, 1 Peter 2:24, one of the verses, that tells us who did that and why. All right, so it says here in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen, anyone. Amen. But see, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. In the Hebrew, that literally means he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. He has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. That's what he took on the cross. But, or let me put it this way, that's what he took to the cross. Because 1 Peter 2:24 gives us this insight that he bore it to the cross. He took it and he carried it to the cross, and that's where he bore it. So you see these two aspects of this, because Jesus had to voluntarily, by an act of his own will, take our sins and take our shame on himself. He had to receive that into himself. He had to. Because he was the one who had the power to lay down his life. So he had the power, he had the authority to actively receive it into himself, And the Bible says that he put all this on his shoulders. He did that. He bore this. He took it and he carried it to the cross. So he took all that, it was Jesus, took all your shame, all your guilt, took it to the cross and bore it there on the cross. And here in Isaiah 53, it says, he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, or our sicknesses and our pains, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In other words, we thought God did that to him. But it wasn't God, it was Jesus who did it to himself. See, one preacher, and when he said it, I felt very uncomfortable, but if you really look at the Bible, it's true. A preacher said, you know what? There's all this discussion going on, who killed Jesus? Was it the Romans? Was it the Jews? You know, it doesn't really matter. It was you. It was me. And then he said, you know what Jesus did? He took your sins and he climbed that cross. And I was thinking, can you say it that way? And usually when you have something in you that says, can you say it that way? It's either the Holy Spirit warning you, or it's religion trying to keep you from the truth. Mm-hmm. Know what I mean? If you hear a preacher say something, it's either your religion on the inside of you, because you were taught totally different, that just rises up and says, no, that's not true. I want to keep my religious worldview. But you know, religion kills, right? Religion is what killed. Yeah. Religion is what flew airplanes into buildings, right? That's what religion does. A former friend of mine, she just got born again, filled with the Spirit, and she learned to follow the Holy Spirit, and she loved to ride her bike. So one day she was riding down down the street, and she tells us the story. She said, "You know what? And I just had this leading on the inside that I need to pray." We said, "Oh, okay." She said, "And you know, I was always taught when you pray, you need to close your eyes." You know, so she pulled a Carrie Underwood. Did Jesus take the wheel? You know, she was just, okay, you know, Jesus is going to take care of me. You know, I'm just going to pray and close my eyes. The next thing she knows is she's on the hood of a car and thank God alive, but hurt. You know, but, you know, lesson learned, religion can kill you. Religion tells you this is the way you need to pray. So if you're only praying this way, you know, well, what do you do when the Holy Spirit tells you on the inside? Okay, pray. Okay, God knows what he's doing. You know, religion can kill. Religion is not logical, all right? So every time you hear me or any other preacher say something and just go like, is that right? That is either the Holy Spirit on the inside of you warning you, saying, you know, careful. Check that with the Word. You know, check everything with the Word, by the way. But, you know, you really want to study this. You really want to check this. Or it is that religious part of you that just goes like, oh, you know what? That's not true. I've been taught otherwise. You know, my mom has believed otherwise, and her mom has believed otherwise, and they have taught me otherwise, so that can't be true. Yep. I'm getting to the amen part. But it's simple psychology, actually. They have a name for that even. But anyway. But that person said that, you know, well, you know, Jesus took our sins, he took our sicknesses, and he climbed that cross. And I was thinking, oh, but you know what? If you look at this, that's sure what it looks like in the Bible. It sure looks like that, this is actually what he did. First of all, we know that all of this could only happen because Jesus voluntarily said it's going to happen. He said, I laid down my life. Nobody takes it. I'm not going to allow anyone to take it. I give it, and I take it back. All right? That's the first thing. But then, in these verses, we get this idea. Jesus took our sins on himself, received it into himself, so to speak, went to the cross, and bore it there. In the beginning here of Isaiah, you know, it says, well, we thought he was smitten by God and afflicted. Well, the Bible says that God was the judge, that he turned himself over to him that judges righteously, to God who is the judge. The Bible says in another passage that in Jesus, in his body, God judged sin. So it was God, wasn't it? It says here, well, we thought, you know, it was God that was smiting him. We thought it was God that was striking him, but it wasn't. No, it was our sin. It was Jesus putting our sin on himself. And then, you know, later here in Isaiah 53, in verse 10, for example, it says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Oh, so it was the Lord. So it was God the Father. Now, who was it now? Was it now Jesus or was it God the Father? Both. It was Jesus who took our sins on himself, carried it to the cross, and on the cross, the Father judged that sin. It was on the cross when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was on the cross where he took that sin, where he carried that sin. And this is, by the way, it's the amen, hallelujah part. This is where he carried our sins. He carried it to the cross, and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, the Father turned his face away from Jesus. Why? Because he was judging sin in his son. And if that's not love, I don't know what is. If that's not bigger than anything you can ever imagine, I don't know what is. But that's what happened. First of all, Jesus voluntarily laid down his life. And the Bible says he took our sin and our shame and our guilt. He bore it. He took it on himself. You can say he put it on his shoulders and he climbed that cross and he carried it to that cross. And on that cross, that's where God bruised him. That's where God judged sin in him. But that's what Jesus did for us. Praise
the Lord for us. Himself, he bore our sins. So why should we ever be under any type of condemnation anymore? If it is under the blood, it's done. It's washed away. It's done away with. Because he bore it. He bore it. Amen? Amen. All right. 1 Peter 2:24, and you can keep your finger in Isaiah 53. I have 10 minutes left and still 2 sermon points. I'm going to speak faster. Did you just agree with me? This is the point where you say, no, I don't need to eat lunch. Just go ahead. Just say whatever you want to say. Well, 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live to righteousness. So this verse, and I said it's the whole gospel in a nutshell, because this not only tells us that Jesus did it, this verse also, just a couple of words, but this verse also tells us why he did it. There is a reason why he took all our sins on himself, why he bore it to the cross, why he carried it there, why he allowed God to judge that sin in him, sorry. There is a reason why. There is a specific purpose why. Well, to save me. Yes, that's true. But not just so you can be in heaven someday. There is more to it than that. All right? So every pastor that reads this, you being dead to sins, you should live to righteousness. The first thing pastor's mind goes to is Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn there or open your app there or do whatever. Romans chapter 6. And it was really nice. In the German service, I had enough time to read all the first 14 verses. I don't think I have the time right now. Or I'm really fast. Or I stop making introductions that take longer than actually reading the verses. That would be an option, wouldn't it? Anyway, I'll get a hang of this. It's my second English service, all right? So I'm learning too. Anyway, Romans 6, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, what do you think is the answer? So it's a God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And everyone that was in the first service shouts, yoo-hoo, glory to God, hallelujah. This verse tells us that just as Jesus rose again, the same way we are supposed to walk in newness of life. This is not somewhere in the future when we're dead. This is now. This is just, you know, Jesus died so that we could die with him. We could die to sin, 1 Peter 2:24 says, and now we can live in righteousness. But it talks about a new life, completely new life. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus died, to give us a new life. And it says here in verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. How? Right? This says, if we died with him, we shall also be like him in the resurrection. How? How does that work? How do we get there? It says in verse 6, knowing this, so it's about knowing something. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. This is not talking about your father. Okay. Anyway. Okay, don't call your mom this afternoon and say, Mom, the old man has been crucified. Right? All right, some of you get it now. But it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that hereafter we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. He that is dead, that's you, by the way. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died to sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Now here it comes. Here's the key. Likewise,
Reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it says, reckon yourself or consider yourselves or see yourselves this way. All right, this is the way to get to live this new life, the way to walk in this newness of life that Jesus died to give you is to know something. That's the first thing. You know, it says knowing that our old man is crucified. You first need to know that you're dead. You need to know that when Jesus died on the cross, because you were in him, your old man is dead. You need to know that first. It's the truth that you know that sets you free. Amen. But also, it says you need to start to reckon yourself, to consider yourself, to view yourself that way. Do you see yourself that way? Do you see yourself as a new creation? Any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All of them. There is not one thing about you that has not been made new. It's just that you don't see. Amen. See, this is so shocking revelation that... But see, it's true. It's just that we don't know that yet sometimes, and we don't see ourselves like that. And the Bible here says the way to walk in this newness of life is that we start to see ourselves that way. We have to renew our mind. We have to read the Word. We have to see what God has done in Christ for us. And that's what's going to help us to walk in that newness of life. But we have to know, and we have to see ourselves that way. We have to consider ourselves, we have to think about ourselves that way. Right? Yeah. Right. Yeah. We're walking in a new life. We're healed. With the stripes, we're healed. Yeah. Right? Have you ever told someone, you know, I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And they say, well, you're not healed. I just saw you popping painkillers. I just saw you taking that. You're not healed. What are you? Are you part of those charismatic people that just go, "I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed"? Yes. Why? Because I see myself that way. I see myself that way. I am healed. I don't see myself as anything else but healed. It's true. I don't care what happens. I don't care how I feel. I see myself as healed. That is not positive thinking. That is based on what Jesus has done for me. The Bible says that he bore my sin. He took it to that cross. He carried it there. And the reason why is so my old man is dead, and now I have a new life in Christ. That's why. And this new life, by the way, is not under the dominion of sin. That means it's not under the dominion of sickness. It's not. It's not. Why? Well, because 1 Peter 2:24... First Peter 2:24 says this. It says, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And if we were healed, we are healed. By his stripes. So there is something that happened to Jesus' body that made it possible for him to bear our sins. And at the same time, same cross, same blood, same Jesus, at the same time, there was something that he did that had an effect on our bodies. There was something he bore that has an effect on our bodies. He bore our sins and he bore our sickness. And what he bore, I need not bear. If he took it, I don't need to have it. That's true for sin. That's true for sickness. It's true for anything that tries to wear you down. Yeah. It doesn't matter what it is. Yeah. Bad news, yeah. Fighting, diagnosis from the doctor, boss calls you in, has some bad news for you. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. Well, how can you say that? That's totally unrealistic. No, it is very realistic. You just don't see yourself like that yet. You just don't know yet. If you think, well, can somebody really live this way? Yes, you can. Not out of your own. It's because there was somebody who took your sin in his own body, took it to the cross, carried it there so that you can be dead to sin, dead to this world, even the Bible says, and now you're alive unto God, you're living for righteousness. It's a new life in him. And all we need to do is we need to know. How do we know? Well, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And he said you need to start to see yourself that way. That's when it's going to happen. That's when you get thrilled about it. And when you get thrilled about it, it starts working for you. Amen. So with his stripes, we were healed. When he went to the cross, he healed us. What Jesus did on the cross has to have an effect on us today. Somehow, it has to. This is one of the things I tell people all the time when they ask me, okay, where's the difference between the so-called normal church and an independent church? Where's the difference? And I say, well, mainly it's this. We believe if Jesus really died and rose again on the third day, defeated death, hell, and the grave, it has to have some kind of effect on our life today. It has to. It has to. So that is exactly what we want to do right now. We want to acknowledge that that is what Jesus did for us. And it doesn't matter what it is in our lives that is contrary to the will of God. It doesn't matter what it is in our lives that is contrary to the Word of God. If it is sin, if there is something in your life that you are struggling with, that you don't know how to get rid of, that you know it's wrong, I know you do because you're a Christian and you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And he's been warning you all this time, you know, don't do this. This is not God. This is not good. But you know. I don't even have to give you a list of what it could possibly be. You know. All right? So if there's this one thing you've been struggling with or more, he died. Specifically, it says, in that one verse, it says he died so that you can be dead to sin. You need to know that and you need to see yourself that way. But at the same time, if there's anything else in your body or in your mind, things that are that Jesus has redeemed you from, but they still seem to be there, just let us have this time. Take this time and acknowledge that when Jesus is really here, if what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago really has an effect today on us here this morning, then we will receive it. If Jesus really is here, and he is, that means healing is here, that means freedom is here, that means salvation is here. Why? Because the healer is here, and the Savior is here, and the liberator is here, and he wants to set you free from anything you need setting free from. Amen? Amen. So let's sing that. Let's come to him. And whatever it is in your life, just give it to him. Well, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Amen? According to your faith. If we believe it, well, if the word says it, we believe it, that settles it. Amen? And we know, we might not know everything, but we know that much. We know that Jesus took our sins. He bore it on the cross. He took our sicknesses. He bore it on the cross. He did it so that our old man could be dead and we could walk in newness of life. We know that much, and that's enough. That's what we need to know. And we need to start to see ourselves that way. All right? So this week, you know, as you go along and pass out one of our Easter eggs that we're going to give you in a minute, you know, just start to see yourself as that. If you don't know where to start, if you don't know how to do that, just take this one verse. Just say, I'm somebody that Jesus died for. Jesus took my sin. Jesus died so I can be dead. Jesus died so I can walk in the newness of life. Jesus died so I can be healed. If that's all you know, if that's, you know, you don't have to be a theologian. You know, just take that and you know more than 99% of all theologians out there. Just take this one verse and just start to renew your mind. Just continue with that so it can set you free. It will change your life. It will. Why? Because Jesus died and he rose again. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And that means something. And it does something still today in you. Amen. Amen. All right, we got to close the service pretty quickly because we don't have these rooms that long today. So, we never close the service without giving out an invitation to meet Jesus. If you're here today, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've never received him into your life as your Lord and Savior, in a moment there will be some people, you know, quite some people, going this way to get some plastic eggs. I want to invite you, come this way, come to the front and ask us about Jesus. We would love to explain it to you, show you in the Bible what we mean. But you've heard a lot today, all right? So if you want that in your own life, please come forward. Again, baptism in the Holy Spirit, as always. If you're a Christian, you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is that? Good question. Just come up, ask that question. We would love to talk to you about it. If you need anything else, prayer request, you know, we will have a team up here. We would love to pray with you. Healing, you know, we said healing is here. Yes, it is. But if you say, well, but I believe when you lay hands on me, that's when I will receive the healing power of God and I will be healed. You're welcome to come forward. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray with you. But do something. God, Jesus died so that we can be healed, all right? So we want to do everything we can to receive that in our lives. Amen? Amen. All right, thank you so much for coming and being part of this experiment. See you again maybe next Friday for WordFest on Good Friday, or next Sunday for Easter Sunday. God bless you, everyone.